is Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, welcome back in. Carpenter and Rothman. Anthony Rothman, Bobby Carpenter, and we welcome back to the program John Ledyard, Tampa Bay Buccaneer reporter, Pewter Report, covering the NFL, and he's on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. John, welcome back.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me. Excited for this week. It's going to be fun.
Oh, my goodness. You got it all, don't you, down there now? I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, we knew Tampa was in play for Tommy Boy, and then you get Gronk out of nowhere to come back and suit up with him, and we all know what's going on there, and then the whole glamour show is back together down there. Give me the feel of what you think Gronk adds to this, and would O.J. Howard then logically be on the move?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Gronk, there's this level of unknown. It's exciting, obviously, because he's, you know, arguably the best tight end of all time, but also there's a level of real unknown because in 2018, last time we saw him, he was okay, but he was clearly not himself, and then he retires, and he's off a year, and now he's back, and he's still pretty young. So, you know, you're pretty optimistic, and he seems like he's in great shape. He's, like, lost weight. He looks amazing. That's all we have really to go off of. So, I mean, you're assuming he's not going to be horrible. I think it's safe to say that. Will he be Pete Gronk? You know, how much are they going to use him in the offense? Gronk has never played with two receivers like this, and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So it is, yeah, it's different, but it's fun, and I think everybody's kind of excited to see how it goes. That's for O.J. Howard. I think they would be fine with trading him, but, you know, Hayden Hurst just got traded for a second, and I believe it was a fifth-round pick. He and a fourth-round pick went for a second and fifth-round pick. Hayden Hurst was also a first-round pick. Couple spot difference, I think, between where he and Howard were selected. Different drafts, obviously, but, you know, same type of deal. So it's a pretty good precedent to use. You know, there's one less deal a year on Howard's contract right now. But Howard's younger still than Hayden Hurst, a couple years younger, and he's been more productive, and he's obviously has more upside. So you'd think he'd be able to bring back a second, at least a third-round pick. So if nobody's willing to trade that, I don't think the Bucs are interested in dealing him. I think they're just going to sit with him. Now draft comes and everybody's like, oh, I really want a tight end, and there aren't any good tight ends in this class because there aren't. Then they might feel like, okay, we're going to make a move for Howard, and then the Bucs might trade him. So we should know more after the next couple of days. I don't know if the Bucs will pick up his fifth-year option or not, but they could hold on to him for now, see what happens as we get closer to the season. And if they get to the season and they have he and Braid and, you know, Eclair and Gronk, maybe it's a four tight end deal. That seems excessive to me. I think somebody eventually gets traded or cut, but that could be the way things unfold. I don't think they'll give him up for nothing.
Talking to John Ledyard covering the NFL draft and Tampa Bay Bucs for the Pewter Report here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And so, John, I guess you talk about, you know, how heavy the roster is with some talented tight ends. You got the two elite receivers on the outside. Do you think this, how much different, do you think this offense will look with, you know, the tight ends and Tom Brady as opposed to Jameis Winston and what it looked like last year with how the roster was constructed?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't think anybody really has a great answer right now just because, you know, we haven't really seen Bruce Arians. Everybody always says doesn't really use his tight ends, but the truth is he really hasn't had tight ends. He hasn't prioritized getting tight ends in some of the places he's been, but that could have just been the context of the roster and the situation and what was available. But, you know, most of the time you have to go back really to Pittsburgh and Heath Miller, and he had success there with Heath. And so, you know, I think I'm not worried about him not knowing how to use Gronk because Gronk's so versatile too. You know, he's a guy that you can flex out, at least, you know, he was, and you assume he still will be a guy that can flex out and play in the slot some too. What will be really interesting is that a lot of people don't even know unless they watch the Bucs, but Chris Godwin actually played the majority of his snaps in the slot, kind of that Larry Fitzgerald type of role that Bruce Arians had him step into as a bigger slot. And he can block well, and he's tough, and he goes over the middle, and he finishes plays in traffic. And so that's a great role for Godwin, and he's thrived in that. So how much does he move outside when Gronk, you know, kicks and flexes to the slot, or will they go four wide a lot? That's something Arians has been more likely to do than other coaches around the league. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how it unfolds. But we've never seen Arians with a Gronkowski, even when we go back to Heath Miller. Heath Miller didn't flex out and play in space like Gronkowski could, then you would assume still can. So it is going to be really different. It's not going to be totally clear to us until we start seeing in camp how it's going to go down. But the level of comfortability that Brady will have in an offseason where there won't be as much preseason time, that's going to be big for him, I think, in terms of getting him rolling and feeling comfortable early on.
All right, John. I mean, certainly you guys are all in now. You got the big boy. You got Tom. You got Gronk. You got the weapons. You feel like, you know, you're in a tough division, but it's winnable. Like, is now that you're all in with Tom and you know there's that little window with Brady to try to make this happen – Does the draft come at 14 for Tampa, where we got to do something that protects him? Does that seem as logical as anything to you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to me, you look at the Bucs depth chart and it's like, okay, well, we've got to find a right tackle. And everything else is like pretty much they could roll out their starting lineup tomorrow. You know, they need a wide receiver three, but with the tight ends, it's not even the end of the world. They've got guys in the roster that can play, but, you know, that position could be upgraded. But really, it's right tackle. They signed Joe Haig. DeMar Dotson's still kind of out there waiting, and they could bring him back. He's been a good pass protector for them for years. He's older now, but I still think he's fine for what they need him to do. So they have options. I don't think it's like a terrifying situation, but I think they would love to land one of the top four offensive tackles in the class and preferably do it at 14 without having to trade up and lose any more draft assets, because the reality is this team, the starting lineup looks fine across the board, but depth is really lacking at almost every position group. So somebody gets hurt. Right now they don't have a lot of talent to step in, so they really need some more picks to be able to keep accumulating selections and be accumulating talent on that roster. So I think tackle is definitely the target. I wouldn't rule out defensive tackle if Javon Kinlaw's there. I wouldn't rule out trading down, and I wouldn't rule out a wide receiver, as much as that might terrify everyone else. I don't think it's out of the question that they draft a Jerry Jeudy or a Henry Ruggs if they're there, and those are the best players on their board.
That's amazing. They thought that they could add more people and more position skill, I guess, John, as you look at that. Do you think that Tampa now with Tom Brady and now the fact that they just brought in Rob, and depending on what they do in the draft, would you say that they're your favorite to win the South?
I still think it's the Saints, actually, and it's kind of unfortunate. Like, the Bucs do all this stuff, and in maybe all the other divisions in the league, you'd think they would be a favorite, but the Saints might have the best roster in the league, and those guys have played together for forever, and they got better. They added Malcolm Jenkins, who I think can still play, and Emmanuel Sanders, who can still play this offseason. They brought back Pete, so the offensive line's back and intact. That's the real advantage to me, that the Saints have a better offensive line than Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay's offensive line improved a lot last season, but the Saints have one of the best lines in the league. They have one of the best – they have just across the board, they're better than Tampa Bay right now. If you look especially at the offensive line and in the secondary, they have playmakers where the Bucs have a lot of young guys in the secondary who may become playmakers, but they aren't there yet. So it's crazy to say, but – I think almost in every other division in the league, I would say the Bucs are the favorite, and they're clearly way ahead of Atlanta and Carolina, which helps. But I still would say the Saints are the favorite in that division, and it's going to be a blast to watch Brady and Breeze go at it twice a year.
Well, it's certainly been a blast to watch the early returns of Brady in Tampa, John, because, the story of him going to the park and working out and getting kicked out of there, and then did I read something where he apparently, when he was going to meet the coach, he went into the wrong house? Is that true? Did you read that as well?
I did read that, yeah. Apparently he went to meet Byron Leftwich, and I saw a picture. Leftwich's house looks exactly like his neighbor's house, and so he went into the wrong house, and he threw his bag down and looked up, and there was some guy sitting at his table, and he was like, oh, am I in the wrong house? And Brady was like, yeah. And Brady was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he left immediately. The guy said he didn't even realize it was Brady until after he was gone. I was like, man, I would have realized it immediately, I bet.
Unbelievable. Well, you got something going there. So everyone's on the Tom train now. And I guess your feel just overall on Super Bowl contender, we've seen the odds drop. I know everyone, there's no reason not to feel optimistic, but is there something that maybe we're not seeing, or you think that, hey, I got to wait and see before I go all in with Lombardi?
Yeah, I mean, I think you do have to wait and see. I mean, I think here's what I'll say. They're definitely a contender. They weren't a contender at the end of last season at all. They could have been a playoff team, but they weren't a contender. You get into the playoffs, they're not a team anybody would have been afraid to face, but it's different now. You get into the playoffs now with Brady, and if you're there, that means he's playing well and he's okay, and everybody's afraid of that. So, I don't think there's any question they're a contender. Hard for me, again, to call them favorites. Just talked about the Saints, and the 49ers have something special building there. I think culturally, not maybe as talented at some spots as the Bucs. I would love to see that matchup. I think that would be a ton of fun. But, man, I they're in the conversation, right? Top three or four team in the NFC, I think, for that conversation. Now, you got to do it on the field. There's no question. Like, I'm not trying to borrow all the rah-rah coach stuff, but it's the reality. Like, we've seen a lot of talented teams get put together, and the reality is that it doesn't come together on the field. So I believe in the Bucs culture, in their coaching. This is a focused organization. That's why Brady wanted to come here. He would have been very choosy about where he ended up, and this is where he wanted to be, I think. And so I do feel very optimistic about the season and the direction that they're going. A little too early to say Super Bowl favorites, I think, but they're in the conversation, and it's been a long time since they were in the conversation in Tampa.
So let me ask you this, John. I know that you cover football, you cover the draft, you cover obviously the Bucs, but could you handicap the Tiger-Peyton teaming versus the Phil and Brady teaming for this little golf matchup that's going to come up here?
I haven't seen – do we know whether Peyton or Tom are better golfers? I think they've traded barbs before.
Tom is Tom's handicap is 8-1 index, and Peyton's is 6-4.
Ooh.
So Peyton's, yeah, so, you know, Peyton's a stroke and a half better.
Yeah. So so it could go either way. So, you know how amped up people are going to be for that, just for some type of sporting event to be going on and something fun and laid back. And, yeah, I think it's going to be a ton of fun. I can't wait for it. I think it's a great idea by those guys, too.
Yeah, it's supposedly in Hope Sound, Florida. I don't know where you are, but that maybe they go to Medalist Village. I know they're not sure where they could go. I mean, they could go to Seminole because Tom just joined there. But if it's Medalist Village, the pros club there, that would be pretty nice. And they're thinking about it Memorial Day weekend. Live.
Yeah, great timing for it and everything, I think. I mean, I think they have a chance to – yeah, it's good that everybody's kind of thinking. As you look at these athletes across the landscape, you know, they are kind of adding themselves to the effort in terms of not only financially, which is admirable, but also just trying to help make it work. I mean, people in the media, like, we're looking for interviews. And I've seen, you know, people doing interviews with smaller sites that I never thought was going to happen. Just athletes trying to lend themselves to the cause of raising people's spirits, keeping people interested in sports. And obviously this for a bigger cause than even that. So it's just good to see everybody kind of brought together by something like this and trying to do their best to make it work together.
Yeah, good stuff, John. Thanks thanks for jumping on. We always appreciate your insight, and believe me, now that you guys are who you got, we'll be reaching out to you a lot more, so we appreciate it.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
John Ledger, Pewter Report. He was on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. So, yeah, I've been zeroing in on that thing, Bob. That's Sunday, May 24th.
Yes.